I ask now as we bring the message this morning, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would deliver the message through us as you would have it delivered. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess if I were going to title this morning, I would call it A Famine in the Land. A Famine in the Land. In the book of Amos, the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament prophets, book of Amos, chapter 8, beginning with verse 11 through verse 14. And it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sins of Samaria shall say, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again." I also want to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible, and it says, "The time is coming, saith Adonai Elohim, when I will send famine over the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Adonai. People will stagger from sea to sea and from north to east, running back and forth, seeking the word of Adonai, but they will not find it. When that time comes, young men, women and men will faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sins of Sharon will say, As your God Dan lives, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and never get up again." A famine in the land. Now, we hear of famine all the time. And there are certain parts of the world today in areas like the African continent where famine's been going on for years. And we see pictures on television of people that are starving and young children and babies with their bellies swollen and bloated because of hunger. And yet their bones, you can practically see their bones through their skin on their arms and in their legs. Because there's famine in the land. There's not enough food to eat. There's not clean water to drink. And many of them die just from drinking the water because of the various bacteria and things that reside in the water there and the pollutants that are in it. So there's a famine physically in the land in many parts of the world today. Now, here in America, we don't think about that so much. And I know that most people in America, the vast majority of people in America anyway, don't necessarily have to go to bed hungry. They could have something to eat, whether it be crackers or bread or something. They would have something to put into their stomach if they wanted to. And we may not always have the things that we want to eat. We may not always be able to dine on ribeye steak and baked potatoes and some of these other things that we sometimes, our mouth begins to salivate as we talk about it, you know. And so sometimes we may have to eat peanut butter and jelly, but at least we have something to put into our bellies. But what he's talking about here is not a physical famine where that we don't have the food to put in our body. But he's talking about a spiritual famine in the land. And I think we are living in that day where there is a spiritual famine in the land. There is a lack of the hearing of God's word. And yet, we live in a time when the gospel can be preached around the globe. And that there is no place on the face of the earth that the gospel can't be preached by various means. Now, maybe somebody physically can't go there, but yet by satellite and by radio and the various other means that we have today of communication, the gospel can reach every part of planet Earth. We've never had opportunities to preach the gospel and share the word of God like we have today. Yet there is a famine of God's word. A famine of God's word. And you say, but there's churches in some places you can go. There's a church on every corner. I remember back in the 70s, There was a gas station on every corner. And then all of a sudden, even though there was a gas station on every corner, there wasn't any gas. And people lined up sometimes for blocks, waiting in line to get gasoline. Gas station on every corner, but nothing in the tank. And sometimes it seems that's the way it is with the Word of God. There may be a church on every corner, but it's the Word being preached. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ really being preached? Are they saying what God, or the message that Jesus gave us to preach, what the Word of God has to say? A famine. You know, there's a lot of things that we can get up and talk about in church. And some of them there's a time and a place for. We need to address the issues of today. We need to address what's going on in our community. And we need to address what's going on in our world. And there is a thing for the church people to do, because if you go back to the early church, they took care of the needs of people. There was more to it than just the preaching of the gospel. And they set men aside. And you know the story of Stephen, how he was one of the deacons that was set aside to minister to the people so that the apostles had the time to preach the word. So it tells us there is a time and a place for social issues in the church. So I'm not against social issues being addressed in the church. We need to. We need to be our brother's keeper in a sense. But by the same token, we need to make sure that there is no, while we're doing all of this and we're taking care of all these things, that we have not got a famine of the Word of God. So in some places on Sunday morning, instead of hearing the Word of God, you will have a message on social issues. We need that outpouring of the Word of God, that move of the Word of God, that hearing of the Word of God to be preached. The Bible says there that people will hunger for the Word of God. Just as an example, I remember when Mary and I were dating, and even prior to the time I met her, I went to church an awful lot. In fact, a lot of times I would go 7 nights a week to church. When Mary and I dated, we went to church. I don't think we had but maybe a couple of dates that didn't involve going to church. And there was a hunger in our heart for church. Our friends went to church. I got drafted, got sent to Germany. And I didn't have the opportunity to go to church there that I had had here. And there was just wasn't the places I could go. And we talked about, oh, we'd be so glad to get back home. We can do this again. And you know what? We got home and there was a famine for the Word of God there. We found some places to go where they had the Word of God being preached and where they had the Word of God going forth on a more consistent basis. But the thing is, a lot of people said, well, we don't need to hear this anymore. We don't need to hear it anymore. I saw something on television just briefly yesterday. It was talking about these young ladies who develop these eating disorders and they starve themselves constantly. They will eat and then they'll go regurgitate what they've eaten so that they will lose weight. Well, it seems like within the church world, sometimes we go in and we sit and we hear a message and we go out and we regurgitate that message and we're starving spiritually because we are not taking into our body, we're not taking into our spirit the Word of God. We're not letting it dwell in our hearts the way we need to. Hunger for the Word of God. There needs to be a hunger for the Word of God. We need to know what God is saying to His people. God has a message for His people today. He had a message for His people back in Genesis. He had a message for His people in Exodus. He had a message in His people for His people in Amos. He had a message for His people in Malachi. He had a message for His people in Matthew, Luke, John. He had a message in the writings of Paul. And He had a message in the book of Revelations. He has a message for His people throughout history.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And He has a message for His people today. And that message that He has for His people will back up what's in that book.
Amen.
God wants to speak to His people. He wants to give you guidance. He wants to take part in your life. He wants to be a part of you. Some people say, well, God is some being that's living up in heaven somewhere, wherever that may be. And He created this place, and we'll agree with all that. But, you know, He just created it, walked away from it, and says, okay, now you're on your own. That's what some people think. And sometimes we live a lot like that, that God's left us alone. But no, throughout history, God has taken part in the lives of His people, and the ones that had a hunger and a thirst for God, He has taken part in their life. He has moved in their lives. He's taken place in their life. And He wants to be a part of your life today.
Yes.
If we will let Him. But the thing is, a lot of people don't want to let God be a part of their life. Well, God, I can do okay without You until something goes wrong. I guarantee you, if the economic situation continues the way it is right now, we'll see more people going back to church because all of a sudden, we need You, God. You know? We need You, God, because I need You to give me money. I need You to give me this. I need You to give me that. But where were they when God wanted to bless them in other ways and they were out partying or doing something else? Say, I don't need You now, God. I'll get back to You when I need You. I want God to be a part of my life every day.
Amen.
I want Him to speak to me every day. I want Him to do something in my life every day that will help me to understand Him better and know more of what He wants me to do.
Amen.
So there's going to be a hunger for God. God speaks to His people. But what is the message that God speaks to His people? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And it says, again, that's 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to stop right there just a moment. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with Him. That means we will have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I get sick sometimes of the word religion because religion can mean anything. It can mean Christianity. It can mean Buddhism. It can be Wiccan. It can be anything you want it to be. Because religion is something nothing more than a belief system. And I've told people before, I don't have religion. What I have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what we need, is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
A young man came to me one time and he had a situation going on in his life, some very serious situations really going on in his life and a friend of his life. And he thought his friend was about to die. And he came and he asked me, he said, well, tell me a little bit about your religion. And I said, I don't have a religion. I said, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It is not about religion. It's about that relationship with Jesus Christ. You're standing with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. You can have religion and have the church of the first hot rod and worship hot rods. I know some of you guys in here like hot rods, but, you know, you can have a church like that. There are churches that are that ridiculous. That's religion. There's no relationship to it. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means He also will have fellowship with Him. It also means we'll have fellowship one with another. And I get sometimes a little perturbed as some people say, well, I can be a Christian and I can have nothing to do with the people of God or anything of God, but I can still be a Christian. Well, I'll tell you, there are some people who are in situations in their life where they can't get out and go to church, and I understand that. There are some people who are sick, there are some people who are housebound, that they can't get out and go to church and have fellowship with the people of the church. But I believe that the Bible tells us that if we are Christians and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we also want to have a relationship with His people.
Amen.
Because it's a family relationship then. Most people, well, it used to be this way, most people used to have a relationship with their family. Families today, it's just, you know, almost ridiculous.
Amen.
You know. But used to, people wanted to have a relationship with their family. Families were tight-knit. They took care of one another. And that's the way it should be with us as members of the body of Christ, as the family of God. We should be watching out for one another, taking care of one another, praying for one another's needs, being there for them when they hurt. That's part of it. To say, well, I can stay home and be a Christian. Yeah, you could stay home and be a Christian, but you're going to miss out on an awful lot. And you may miss out on going to heaven because you may backslide. Simple as that. Because let's face it, you sit home, and how often are you going to sit home and just think and do about the things of God? Pretty soon you'll find other things to occupy your time. And too many people are too busy on Sunday for God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Every last one of us was born in sin. And let's face it, there's not one of us here that's perfect. And every one of us at some time in our life, even as a Christian, has done something wrong. And we've done some things that God wouldn't particularly be proud of us doing. But we can go to Him and He's faithful and just to forgive us. That was the thing about David. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Yet he committed murder or had murder done. He committed adultery. He did all kinds of horrible things. He knew how to restore his relationship with God. And say, God, I screwed up. I made a mess of things.
Amen.
Forgive me. And God was faithful and just. Now I have to say, though, that you can take it too far sometimes. And some people, you know, the old story of the guy that goes to confession, confesses his sin, the priest tells him what the penance is. And he says, well, why don't you double that? Because I'm going to go out and do it again. And sometimes we can push God to the limit. And He's going to say, I've had enough. But sometimes we unwittingly, and sometimes we just mess up and sin where we're not trying to. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, it says. And will everyone be saved? Now, I know there's some folks out there telling you everybody's going to heaven anyway. And send them an offering for telling them that, for telling you that. Why do we need them if we're going to heaven anyway? Don't need any of this stuff. We're going to heaven anyway. No, but that's not what the Bible tells us. Here's what Jesus had to say in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 23. We don't hear this talked about too much. Luke 13, 23. And then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. He said here, in another translation, it simply says, not everyone's going to be saved. Not everyone will accept Jesus Christ. There will be some who can be active in church and do all kinds of things in church, but never have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the sad part out, this is who they're talking about right here, they'll be left outside the gate or outside the door. But I did this. I was a deacon. I was an usher. I played the piano. I did this. I taught Sunday school. I knew a preacher once who at 80 years of age, after being in the ministry for probably 50-some years, finally realized that he had never accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. 50 years approximately in the ministry before he realized that he was going to be one of those who could be standing outside the door while others were entering in and saying, Lord, I preached the gospel for 50 years and how come I can't come in? Because he didn't have that relationship. And I have to tell you, the really, really sad, another sad part to it, the really sad part was 50 years it took him to do it, to find out he didn't have that relationship. The other sad part was his church kicked him out then when he got saved. We don't need you anymore. But you know what? At least he's inside the gate now. He's inside the door. Within a few years of that time, he went on to be with the Lord. But thankfully, he made that commitment to Jesus Christ. You know, the really sad part is that some have been deceived, and as a result, will not be saved. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. Again, that's Matthew chapter 7. Beginning with verse 15. And I want to read this one to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says, beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. King James says, you workers of iniquity. Workers of lawlessness. There are deceivers in the world today. There are deceivers in the church world today. We're preaching a gospel that sounds pretty good up front. But when you begin to examine what they're having to say, they're that wolf in sheep's clothing. That's why it's always got to back up with what's in the book here. If it doesn't back up with what's in there, don't pay attention to it. In fact, run. First John 4, 1 through 3. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. And we talked about spirits last week when we talked about heavenly visitations. It says, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the early church. Doesn't mean the Antichrist has been here, but the spirit of Antichrist has been here. And there have been a lot of Antichrist actions that have taken place. There were Antichrist actions that were taking place before Jesus was born, trying to deceive people and getting them to believe that they were the Messiah. The spirit that's come into the world today. The Antichrist spirit is strong in the world today. I'm going to tell you this, most likely the Antichrist himself is in the world today. He's alive somewhere. I just looked this verse up in one of the commentaries. And it broke it down verse by verse here, verses 1 through 3. And where it says, every spirit. In the commentary it says, which presents itself in the person of a prophet. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error speak by men's spirits as their organs. That means we're the oracle. That's what it's talking about, the oracle. But there is but one spirit of truth and one spirit of Antichrist. And it will either be the spirit of truth or the spirit of Antichrist is speaking. It goes on, it says the word try here, it says by the tests. All believers are to do so, not merely ecclesiastics. Not just the preacher. Every person who is a member of the family of God, every Bible-believing, professing Christian, needs to try the spirits. It says even an angel's message, and we talked about this last week, even an angel's message should be tested by the word of God, much more men's teaching. However holy the teacher may seem. That's words of thought there. However holy he may seem, we need to test the Spirit and what the Word has to say, because if the Word coming forth doesn't back up with the book, it's the wrong Spirit speaking. It says many false prophets are come into the world and gone out into the world. The commentary says, not prophets in the sense of foretellers, but organs of the Spirit that inspires them, teaching accordingly either truth or error. Many antichrists. That's what I'm saying. Many antichrists have gone out. Let's face it, if somebody gets up and he's teaching a false doctrine, he is teaching it under a spirit of the Antichrist. Because anything that is trying to lead you away from Jesus Christ is the spirit of Antichrist. So there's a lot of spirit of Antichrist in the world today. It goes on to tell us, though, that one way of testing the spirit here is the spirit doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. If they have any doubt about that, then you better run. Because if they don't believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh, if they don't believe what the Word of God has to say, if they try to dilute any part of this or change it, it's time to run. Do not walk. Run. You know when they have an emergency drill, things come over the speaker, always tells you to be calm. Do not run, but walk. I'm telling you in this case, do not walk, run.
Amen.
Get out of there. Because you don't want to be around and be a part of things that are not of the Spirit of God. Commentary here tells us that all this has been going on since the early church. We've had to deal with this in the church. There's a famine in the land today. A famine of the things of God. A famine of God's Word. A famine of Bible-based preaching. We need to have it coming from every church. We need to have it coming from every corner. We need to have a move of God in our midst. We need to have that hunger, that thirst for the things of God. We need to cry out and desire that God speak in our lives, that God touch our lives, that God move in our hearts. We need to see that outpouring of God's Spirit upon us in our daily life. Amen.